It was an ordinary night. Shepherds watching sheep under a sky of stars. Nothing special, nothing new. But then the sky blazed bright. An angel appeared and said, "Do not be afraid. I bring good news, great joy for everyone." Hope was breaking into the dark.
The angel said, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. Not far away, not one day, to you. Right here, right now." Hope came close, wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger, the glory of God in a fragile frame. God with us. Emmanuel.
The people have been waiting year after year, prayer after prayer. Then the promise came true. For to us a child was born, to us a son was given. The waiting wasn't wasted. God had been working in the silence. Hope had been growing all along.
And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He came to shine on us living in the darkness and guide our feet to the path of righteousness. He came because the Father is good, and his goodness brings hope.
We still walk roads that feel broken. We still face the unknown. But there is light, light that dawns in the dark, a hope that is more than a wish or a plan, a hope that has a heartbeat, a name, a promise. Hope has a name. His name is Jesus.
And I believe with every fiber of my being that he is the hope of the world. But maybe this Christmas hope is too much hard to hold, that to experience joy and to experience peace is just another event to go to. So my friends, I have a proposal for you. Maybe this year, let's just skip Christmas altogether. Let's stop putting the things like lights that are meant to go inside and not put them outside, and chop down trees that are meant to flourish outside and put them inside. Because when I look around my dining table, there's an empty seat at the table. The loved one that I hold so dear is no longer here, so let's just stop hoping in what we have. But hope is more than an empty seat at the table. Hope is more than my circumstances, because I believe that hope is actually found in a person. And if I'm honest with myself, the dream that I thought my hope was no longer there. And my last resort is the thing that can actually hold my hope, because I'm stuck in a cycle and chasm of comfortably complacency. But I'm not stuck. The dream that I held on to is not the dream I should. Because there is one who can hold my hope. So my dear friends, maybe we can stick our head above the water just for a moment. Close your eyes and breathe and realize that every smoke screen is not there to get to you. Life is not punishing you, it's preparing you. So be the flower growing between the cement, beautiful, because it doesn't know it's not meant to grow there. You see, hope is born in tension between the baby that was born and the baby that would later die. Hope is born in the tension between the diapers and the candlelit service. Hope is born in the tension between beautiful moments like this and looking across the table and realizing there's an empty seat this year. But hope is more than that. This is not wishful thinking. Hope doesn't have anything to do with an outcome. Hope has everything to do with a person. And this Christmas, I hope we can remember his name, because some of us have forgotten his name. Thank you. Good morning. It's nothing like sharing poetry with a bunch of kids who do it better than you. Can I just say, before we start and we get into the word of Jesus, can we just give it up for our Generations team and our creative team? You guys did amazing. To get 80 children on the stage, if you've ever done it, it's not a small task. I did ask for animals, and that wasn't a good idea. So that poem was written between me and Jenna, our amazing children's pastor, as a look into hope, especially hope in the waiting. And sometimes some of us in the room, hope is just like, I hope in Jesus, and that's fine. But for others of us, Christmas is maybe not so hopeful and maybe something we dread. Maybe the season of this is either mixed with trauma or just mixed with you just kind of wanted to get it over with. I think I talked a couple weeks ago about this, that we have this anticipation for Thanksgiving and Christmas and all this stuff, and we like build, and when we finally get to it, we have no idea what to actually do with the moment. Last night, we watched Home Alone, and my mom and dad have flown over not just to watch Home Alone, but to spend Christmas with us. And my dad said something very funny, which came out of frustration. He goes, do we have to watch this movie again? Don't we watch it every year? And I was like, isn't that the point, though? That sometimes we have to repeat things over and over again until they get into our very bones. But in the Bible, there's multiple words for the word hope. In our English language, I don't know if you know this, but it seems quite weak. And there's actually greater words that we could use for hope that I kind of want to give to you today. So in the Old Testament, there are two main words that translated hope. And the funny thing is, I'm going to try and say these words with my accent and then ask you to say them with my accent. And they're just going to be awful. But the first word is yakal. Can you say that? Just British accents jumping back at me. And to call, yakol, we translate to hope, but it's more than just hope. It is actually to wait patiently, to wait expectantly, and to trust with trustful resilience. For example, Noah yakoled for weeks that the rain would fall. He hoped for weeks. There's another word, gavah. Can you say gavah? Gavah also means something similar. It means tethered or to wait. The best translation is if you pull a rope really, really tight, knowing it's about to snap. It's kavalin, it's about to snap. There is tension in it, but there is hope that it will break eventually. But it's something that's found in the waiting. So the reason that poem existed is because I would like to maybe propose something, that hope is not wishful thinking. The hope is only found in the tension. N.T. Wright puts it this way. He says, the kingdom of God is somewhere between the now and the not yet, which implies that we live in this middle tension ground, which on one way I just want to say, yeah, but we know the end of the story. Can we get there? But what we're experiencing, on this side of the grave seems very different than the beauty of the garden that we hear about. But maybe we're hoping, or you're calling, or gavahavim, for something else. Here in this house at B4, we have four words that I really, really believe in. Hope, healing, freedom, and flourishing. But hope is in there. Recognizing that we live in the tension of now, waiting for our Savior to save us. But what does our experience look like right now? We find the same notion all over the book of Psalms. It actually appears, at least in my Bible and NLT, over 40 times where people caval for the Lord. They're waiting patiently from the Lord. But if we go back to that metaphor of a rope being stretched out, that we are waiting in the tension for it to stretch out. As a musician, a guitar is something I look at a lot, and a guitar string only makes noise when the tension is implied. If you leave a guitar string with no tension in, I don't know, it just sounds bad. Do you know what I mean? But the tension, the song comes out of the tension of the strings. Biblical hope is based on a person, which is different from optimism. Optimism is about choosing to see hope in your situation and looking for the circumstances to change. However, hopeful people in the Bible recognize there is no evidence sometimes, but they choose to have hope anyway. So is God's past faithfulness that motivates us for hope in the future. You look forward by looking back, trusting in nothing other than God's character. The poet in Psalm 39 said this, "O Lord, what else could I kavah for? You are my yakal." Let me put that in the most Andy English language as possible. Lord, you are what I desire. You are the tension and the hope that I feel. In the New Testament, the earlier followers had a similar word in Greek, and this is elpis. Can you say that? Elpis. Greek is a little bit easier to read in my accent than Hebrew. Elpis literally means hope or expectation in something greater. And so the Apostle Paul would announce the elpis of glory is upon us. The hope of glory is upon us. In both cases, elpis and of the ones before, hope seems to always be based on a person. And I don't know who you are or even why you're in the room today. Maybe you come to B4 every Sunday and you're like, why were there children and people wearing black doing poetry? This is strange. Or maybe you're a grandparent and because you just wanted to take a picture of your granddaughter dressed as a sheep this morning. Both are equally accepted, just to let you know. My daughter tried to get on stage. She was one of the sheep. Emails will be written about her. I'm sorry, Bo. Or maybe you're here because you got dragged along and tricked into someone who said, do you want elf pancakes this morning? Either or, I want to give you a proposal. That your container for your hope that you have in your dreams on this side of the grave will never, ever be able to contain the tension that this world can offer. That I really believe with every fiber of my being that Jesus is the only hope that we have. That it's not what we can get out of Jesus. It's not even what Jesus offers. But at the end of the day, the hope that he gives us is himself. It's not his hand stretched out, it is his face. It is who he is. It isn't for our bank accounts to get bigger. It isn't for your anxiety to go down. It isn't awkward, you know, conversations at the dining table. All highly recommended. It is that you will see this Christmas face to face, a baby who was born to die. Born of a teenage girl in the midst of chaos, who had to fled to a foreign country and become refugees and live off the very presents they got given. And for 30-odd years, living an ordinary life until it turned into something extraordinary. There's a line which I listened to yesterday. It's called I Hate Christmas Parties, which I really like this song. And it says, when did you wake up as a baby knowing that you would die for people like me and people like you? In a world where peace seems distant, where faith seems weak, and love is often distorted, we cling to the hope that is found in the birth of a child. Through his arrival that was unexpected, his presence is to answer the deepest longings of all of our hearts. We have to understand, friends, this Christmas, that this child, Jesus, will one day save us all. So what are you hoping for? What are you waiting for? What are you calling? What is bringing you tension that actually is bringing peace and hope? The late Desmond Tutu put it this way. Hope is being able to see that there is light despite all of the darkness. I was meant to say this earlier, but I'll say it now from Spurgeon himself. This is a beautiful moment. He says this, hope itself is like a star, not to be seen in the sunshine of prosperity, but only to be discovered the night of adversity. And so friends, I wonder this Christmas, what is bringing you tension that is actually disguised as hope? And are we looking under the Christmas tree or in our bank accounts? Are we looking for reconciliation towards one another and for a baby boy for one day to save us all? Amen. I'm going to invite Cassandra and a friend to come up and lead us through a benediction.
We are currently in the Advent season, as we have been talking about, and so we have been ending our times of service with a benediction and a lighting of the Advent candle to just take a moment to reflect on the season, and specifically today, just to reflect on that hope. What are you hoping for? I'm going to invite you guys to stand up. If you've been here on a Sunday, you know that you are invited to stand and even put your hands out in front of you. I have Walker here, who's a middle schooler, part of our ministry, and he's going to read our benediction. So go ahead and prepare yourself to receive that.
May waiting become our teacher. May silence be our friend. May we learn to treasure the quiet work of God and hold it in our hearts while we wait. May hope rise in us like a spring. May it sit deep like a firm foundation. May the Spirit calm our fears and give us patience. And may we trust that Jesus always comes in time, never early and never late. So go now joyfully from this place and know that God's faithfulness is waiting for us.
Amen. Alrighty, we have pancakes out in the commons, and we will see all of you next week. Merry Christmas.